From Aldervik in Norway, welcome to the GCN show.
Welcome to the GCN show.
Coming up this week, after Tadej Pogačar became only the third rider in history to claim the triple crown of Giro, Tour and World Championships, we are diving into his training secrets.
Which aren't that secret after an interview with Peter Attia.
No, spoiler alert, the power numbers are mind-blowing.
We've also got news of how you could get paid if you've got information about cheating in pro cycling, a hack /bodge that utilises a nappy /diaper, and how my crutch nailed the iron knob segment. This week in the world of cycling, we learned that I can keep my job at GCN. So after stating in last week's GCN show that Mathieu van der Poel would not win the World Championships, I had a very nervous few hour wait on Sunday, and it has to be said, even though he didn't win, that ride was way more than I expected from him on that course.
Yeah, better than you thought, perhaps, but not better than you feared.
Indeed. More importantly, though, we also learned that Tadej Pogačar is officially the greatest of all time.
Yeah, and how is it official, I hear you ask? Well, only one person could bestow that honour, and he has done. The previous greatest of all time, Eddy Merckx, a man not known for finishing second, ever has said, it's obvious he is now above me.
We're speechless.
I mean, that's not going to make for a great video, is it? Probably an even worse podcast.
Good point. We should probably carry on speaking.
We should, yeah, let's keep talking.
Another reason for Merckx abdicating his throne is, of course, because Tadej Pogačar's levels of dominance reached new heights on Sunday as he attacked the main favourites with over 100 kilometres to go, still can't believe that,
no,
to win his first World Championship title.
I mean, that is straight out of the Eddy Merckx playbook, isn't it, from 1969. It was one of the boldest, most insane moves in the modern era of cycling. In fact, none other than Mathieu van der Poel said, I thought it was quite a stupid move in his post-race interview. His lead, as in Pogačar's lead, hovered around a minute, didn't it, for almost 2.5 hours of racing.
If you want a more detailed rundown of what happened on Sunday, you can check out the Racing News show from yesterday on our other channel. But what I didn't talk about on that show were the numbers and detail that Pogačar seemingly openly talked about in a recent interview of Peter Attia.
Yeah, it's worth listening to that interview, isn't it? But we will summarise it for you. In it, Pogačar was surprisingly candid, wasn't he? Surprising enough that I was texting you about how surprisingly candid he was. About his training numbers, his racing numbers, his weight, pretty much anything else as well, performance related. And so, I guess the question is then, what are the secrets to his training?
Well, we'll start with the numbers, shall we?
Let's start with the numbers, yeah.
So he told Attia that he likes to do long zone 2 rides, but that where he lives, it's too hilly to do long, consistent rides at zone 2 power.
Yeah, and when you hear what that power is, you kind of understand why it's quite hard to sustain it. Because he claims that it's about 320 to 340 watts.
At zone 2.
At zone 2. So, for those of you not familiar with Zone 2, that's breathing through your nose. 340 watts with your mouth shut.
Yeah, and that's actual average, not normalised as well, isn't it?
Yeah, unbelievable. And that's for a heart rate of around 140 to 145 when he said he's a little bit tired. Interestingly, when he's fresh, it goes up to 150 to 155.
But given that he later revealed on that same podcast that he still sees heart rates of over 200 at his max, gives you a sense of how within himself those sorts of powers are.
Yeah, as would you if you could maintain it for 5 hours. Now, the problem that he faces on the roads of southern France, where he's based for most of the year, is that it is a bit hilly slash mountainous. So obviously he can sustain those powers no problem on the climbs, but trying to sustain over 300 watts on descents is hard, isn't it? And quite dangerous, probably, as well.
More importantly, yes. Now, those numbers sound and are ludicrous.
Yes, they are.
5 hours at that intensity, you'd probably be going close to 40 kilometres per hour, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Imagine how quickly you'd wear your tyres out. If you like, imagine how much distance you would cover. Interestingly, he said that his power does drop off over that 5 hours, though, which is a relief to those of us whose powers drop off after about 5 minutes.
or two.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you thinking that those numbers are too high, Si and I were discussing our own power numbers at the coffee machine earlier, and actually, we weren't that far off in our heyday.
Time for us to finally be candid with all of you as well.
Yeah, secrets about to be revealed.
Yeah, I mean, when you say we weren't too far off, I mean, there was a significant gap, wasn't there? But perhaps not quite the chasm you might think. So at my peak, should we say, I once did a two-hour ride at Sweet Spot where I averaged 345 watts. So, yeah, for my zone two rides, I was at about 290.
What sort of weight at the time?
I was about 72 kilos.
So, about 4 watts per kilo for you versus Pogacar's 5.15 watts per kilo at zone two.
Okay, maybe there is quite a chasm there. That's quite a lot. And it's probably not really surprising that there's a chasm when you look back at my results compared to his.
Okay, my turn.
Go on.
Because I was looking back at training peaks. And in early 2008, Si, I did a couple of four-hour rides where I averaged, not normalised, I averaged 300 watts. But that included two 45-minute blocks of what I used to call sweet spot, so probably zone three, I guess. I was zone two the rest of the time.
And your weight, then?
I would say probably about 70 kilos then.
Okay.
I've even got a screenshot to prove it, which I/ISAC edits our vids will put up on screen now.
I particularly like the last part of your diary entry that day. I have to say, I was pretty stuffed when I came through the door, but also very pleased with myself.
Yes, stuffed, but chuffed. I think you can shorten that too in hindsight. So, still a big difference between what I was doing and Si was doing and what Pogacar is doing now. But in all honesty, I think what it shows is that we, as above average, normal riders, but fairly average pros, weren't a million miles away. And so it does sort of make sense that riders like Evenepoel, Pogacar, Van Aert, Van der Poel, Vingegaard, etc., the most talented and gifted riders in the world, are able to sustain these monstrous powers.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel very comfortable looking at that, to be honest. The question is, what sort of roads were you on that meant you could sustain those monstrous powers?
It was the Surrey Hills, just outside of London.
Oh, yeah.
Not mountainous,
no,
of course, but certainly quite hilly. But I did used to feather the brakes a lot on downhills and into corners in order to try and maintain that power.
It's such a nerd.
Bit sad when I think back about it now.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need to ride along with your brakes on anymore, do you?
Hell no. I could probably sustain my current zone two power down a 20% descent, I would imagine.
All right. Anyway, back to Pogacar. More importantly, that's what we're here for. He also says, I thought this was interesting, that he trains a lot to heart rate. Partly because that's what he's always done since his junior days. And actually, you messaged him, didn't you, years ago to find out when he'd started using a power meter.
I did. I messaged him after the 2019 Lab World, to where he finished third, a sort of breakthrough moment. Should we play that clip from the GCN show that day?
Go on then, yeah.
And I also had a theory about power meters and the use of those from a young age. But then I sent a message to Tadej Pogacar about this to find out how old he was.
Sorry, the Tadej Pogacar.
Yeah, sent him a message on Instagram and he was kind enough to send a reply. That's exactly what I thought as well.
Well, yeah, then he basically disproved your theory in one fell swoop.
And he did.
I like the fact that I called you out for name dropping then, because it still feels like name dropping even now, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, he doesn't message me anymore. It's too big for his boots. But he did explain why he's always kept looking at heart rate, because he didn't have access to a power meter until his last year as junior. And another thing he mentioned was that he does strength, this is on the podcast, that he does do strength and resistance training, not just in the off-season.
Yeah.
He tries to maintain that during the season as well with lighter weights. And that he also does do some running and has done for the last couple of years.
Two things that have blown my mind, actually. And actually, one thing, now I think about it, that you two have in common.
Well, no, two things, running and weights.
Running and weights. Yes. Oh, my word. He hasn't got pecs like you, though, has he?
Oh, I very much doubt it. And yet he still gets portrayed as the Incredible Hulk on the front page of L'Equipe.
I sort of felt like that might be an ironic thing,
maybe,
that one, yeah.
Further to that, he mentioned that his weight is about 64 kilograms for peak events, but might go up to 69 kilograms in the off-season, and that he's spent more time doing heat training in the last couple of years.
Yes, as have many pros, actually. And that clearly works, as Connor can attest to from his recent experiment of heat training himself.
I tell you what, if Connor starts combining heat training with beetroot juice, creatine, and sodium bicarb, the pro peloton better watch out.
Yeah, they had. And he would make a good Incredible Hulk.
He would, very true.
Yeah, paint Connor green and it'd be quite imposing, I think.
Anyway, I thought it was really good that Pogacar was so open in that podcast, because most pros are pretty guarded about their numbers in general, aren't they?
Yeah, they are indeed. I was surprised, actually, just about how much info he did reveal, yeah, to be honest. Maybe he's confident that no one will be able to get close to him, even though they know what they need to do to get close to him.
I mean, it's not like anybody's going to go, oh, so that's what you need to do to beat Tadej Pogacar, and then suddenly start doing 350 watts at zone 2 for 63 kilograms. It's a bit like when I first got a power meter, actually. So on the one hand, it was the best training tool I ever had. I made some really big gains. But on the other hand, it was a sudden realisation of just how far away I was from the best benchmarks of that time in terms of power.
Yes, I was the same, actually. Mm. That was one of the reasons why I thought it might be time to not be a cyclist for a living anymore. Right, over to you lot. Are you surprised at the power numbers that Pogacar has quoted on the Peter Attia podcast? And was there anything revolutionary in what he said in that interview? Let us know in the comment section down below. I think people might be surprised that there isn't anything more than that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it all seemed very kind of normal, didn't it? And just like, you know.
Yeah, he was very comfortable giving away all the... We wondered whether it was because Peter Attia is not a cycling-specific journalist, even though he's obviously very into his cycling. But yeah, it was interesting.
Super interesting.
Anyway, we'll have more from the Zurich World Championships a little later in the show.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, and we're going to start with the news that the UCI are setting up an initiative to help to encourage whistleblowers to come forward with information about potential motor doping.
How? By offering reward for information as part of the Fight Against Technological Fraud rewards programme.
And what is technological fraud, we hear you ask? Well, glad you asked. Technological fraud in cycling can be defined as the fraudulent or unauthorised use of a motor or any other technique that infringes Article 1.3.010 of the UCI regulations related to propulsion.
Crikey.
I know.
I read the UCI communique with interest to see just what the rewards were on offer. There are three types.
Go on.
Material support, financial assistance, and monetary reward.
Dan, we just want to know how much they're going to pay us.
They don't say how much.
Oh.
It is, exactly. Any reward will be kept confidential between both parties.
Well, I mean, I've got to say, I think this is a good step, yeah, right? Any step to, you know,
is a good
anti-doping.
One.
Yeah, it is a good one, right? But I do wonder, right, knowing cyclists as I do, I feel like if anyone thinks that someone is cheating with a hidden motor, they're not going to keep it secret, are they? I mean, we're the first to moan about anything, us cyclists, and certainly not in 2024. Mm.
They'd probably post a reel or a short about it, wouldn't they?
Exactly that, yeah.
But I guess this is as much for a mechanic or a teammate who might then lose their job over it.
Oh, I see what you mean. As in, like, if you blow the whistle on, like, the team leader. I mean, realistically, that's... I mean, the chances of that being a thing are, like, minute, aren't they? But, yeah,
so.
I get what you mean, right? Yeah, if you're committing career suicide over it. Anyway, if you have any info, this scheme is operational now, apparently. Next up, Strava launched an update last week, which you can't have missed if you use Strava, but we'll tell you about it anyway. It's called Quick Update. And when you automatically upload a ride from a head unit to Strava, the next time you open the Strava app, it immediately gives you the option of editing your ride. Like, the edit bit is already open. So you can add a title to your ride, change map visibility, remove data, all that kind of jazz.
It streamlines the process of editing for you, doesn't
it? Yeah,
it
does.
It's also good for Strava because it's going to mean fewer activities that are titled Morning Ride.
Yes, come on, folks. We can do better than that. And I include myself in that.
Mine are normally titled Morning Walk.
That is true, yes.
next up, we've got some sad news, unfortunately. So the industry legend Bob Parley, who's founder of Parley Cycles, passed away last week after a four-year battle with cancer.
Yeah, so he began making carbon fibre bikes under the Parley name in the year 2000, which kind of made him one of the pioneers of that material, really. And the brand has been on most cyclists' wish list of bikes ever since.
Yes, Bob Parley, who passed away last week.
Yeah, he actually handed the baton of Parley Cycles onto a new custodian of the brand 2 years ago. And so they very much live on with much the same workforce as well.
Yeah, actually Ollie's heading out to see them in a few weeks' time, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah. Now, some good news coming from here in the UK is the Department of Transport published their annual road traffic safety statistics. Fatalities among cyclists have fallen by 4%, which is the third year in succession.
Which is undoubtedly good, isn't it?
It is, but yeah.
Not quite as rosy when you take into consideration that the amount of cycling on the roads has also decreased.
That is true, but fundamentally, I think we just need more people to know that cycling on the roads is way safer than many people think it is, really. Although, that said, I saw a scary update from Lachlan Morton this morning on his Instagram. He is still making incredible progress on his ride around Australia. What did we say his last rides were on Strava? 533Ks, 480K.
At 36.6Ks an hour, that 480K one.
Yeah, so a short day in the saddle, really. 532Ks, 400Ks, not sure what it was up to that day. 529, it goes on. Mind-blowing, really. But he had some uncomfortable moments on the Nullarbor Plain, including getting run off the road by a truck driver.
Brutal. You'd have to twist my arm, I've got to say, pretty hard to get me to ride along there. Did you know, actually, according to his Strava, so far in 2024, he's averaged 124Ks per day of the 274 days we've had when we record this so far.
Wow. Okay. Interestingly, I saw as well that he's still racking up the Strava segments, including he's now second on the Kimber to Iron Knob segment.
Yes, and who currently holds that segment, Si?
Mike Crutch.
Really? Mike Crutch is the KOM holder on the Iron Knob segment.
He is indeed. Take a look at that.
My word.
Yeah, there you go.
Fantastic stuff.
Couldn't write that, could you?
Well, we just did.
No, that's not made up.
Well, it's not made up. No, we did see it this morning. Well, actually, our colleague Matt did. Anyway, there's some big birthday news this week. Zwift, would you believe it, turns 10 years old.
Wow.
And of all the tech innovations in cycling, I reckon that it's genuinely been the biggest impact in cycling over the last decade.
Yeah, more than disc brakes, for sure. Mm. I'm not sure it's more than gravel bikes, but then again, maybe it has been. E-cycling was not a thing before Zwift. Indoor training was, but everyone hated it. And yeah. Now indoor cycling is a thing. Whereas everyone said they already rode gravel 10 years ago. It just didn't have a name.
Well, I was riding on gravel 25 plus years ago, I think.
There you go. Yeah. See, but you weren't.
Anyway, back to Zwift.
Yeah, okay.
Because I've been diving into it for a video that you'll be able to watch on the channel this coming Friday. I remember Matt Heyman winning Paris-Roubaix off the back of 6 weeks of Zwifting back in 2016.
Sure do, mate. Yeah, remember absolutely smashing Jens Vogt on
Zwift,
you
I
and
do
me, mate.
Indeed.
Yeah, yeah.
There's loads of birthday rides going on, incidentally, so you can join the likes of Sir Chris Hoy, Mathieu van der Poel, Ashley Moulman-Paciot, Jan Frodeno, Lionel Sanders, and Lucy Charles-Barkley, among many others on the platform.
Yeah, and remember as well that our weekly GCN presenter rides start on Zwift this Wednesday as well, so 6:30 p.m. UK time.
Next up, we've got to finish cycling shorts with some tragic news, unfortunately. So at the Road World Championships last week, young Swiss rider Muriel Fuhrer was competing in a junior women's race. She crashed and sustained severe head injuries, to which she later succumbed to in Zurich Hospital.
Yeah, it's an absolute tragedy, isn't it? Yeah, and our thoughts are with her family and her friends.
A minute's silence was held at the beginning of the women's road race, which came a day later. It was held under brutal conditions, wasn't it? Lotte Kopecky took the win there, keeping hold of the rainbow jersey, which she won first time back in Scotland last year.
Yeah, and it also marked the first time that Dutch women had missed the podium for 10 years, in spite of having by far and away the strongest team on the day.
Yeah, conditions as wet and as cold as that often throw curveballs into tactics, but it did seem like a missed opportunity.
It did a little bit, didn't it?
Mm.
Not going to call out Demi Vollering, but I'm going to call out Demi Vollering.
No, it's always easy in hindsight, isn't it? The Dutch get it in the neck a lot on the women's side for their tactics at World Championships and at Olympic Games. But when you've got that many chefs in the kitchen, as I mentioned on yesterday's Racing News show, that all have a chance of winning, it's got to be quite hard to manage.
Yeah. And who wouldn't want to win the world champs, I guess? Yeah. Now, last week, we asked you to send in your experiences, both bad and good, of insurance.
Cycling insurance, yeah.
Specifically cycling insurance. Yeah, we don't want to know about your household contents cover. Anyway, thank you so much. Loads and loads and loads of you sent in both good and bad stories. We pulled out a couple. Koalala 3939. The worst one, I didn't have insurance and my bike got stolen. The best one, I've got insurance and my bike hasn't been stolen. Well, there you go. I had no idea it was a protective
always
thing.
The way.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Always
yeah.
The way. Reese Dawson also wrote in saying, I was riding last year and came down a gentle downhill on some terrible road when a gust of wind knocked my front wheel into a massive pothole. Smashed up my DI2 shifters and derailleurs. Luckily, nothing serious to me, but as my bike is my only mode of transport, as an 18-year-old, I was devastated. Luckily, with insurance, I got a quote from my bike shop and they paid out.
Wow, that is good news, isn't it? Particularly, like, there's something about a youngster getting stuck with a trash bike.
You can't really describe it as a win as such, can you? But
no. Well,
rather, it didn't happen in the first place, is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Kevin Omeli said, I made a decision to let my insurance lapse shortly after I crashed into a car, damaging the car, my bike, and breaking my pelvis. I was up for financial difficulty. Lesson learned, have insurance. Oh, that sucks, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, well, as we alluded to earlier, you know, when you do have insurance, inevitably nothing at all happens, and it does when you don't. But we should remind you, if you didn't watch last week's show, we have GCN bike insurance available on offer in the US and here in the UK. So we were trying to get you to kind of sell it for us because we came up with a blank, really, didn't we?
Well, I think you put it well last week when you said we're not insurance salesmen.
Yeah, we're not salesmen, and especially not of insurance. I think is how we put it, wasn't it?
Basically, yeah. But anyway, yeah, so there we go. That's not the hard sell. It's just, it's obviously worked for some people.
Yeah, maybe get a free quote.
Yeah.
Our first hack /bodge of the week this week comes in from Lord Thighmaster.
Oh, my word.
A student at our university, Western Colorado University, was riding this, so I had to take a picture. He was gifted it from a friend's garage. Gary Fisher full suspension converted to road bike. Maybe a new bike idea for the big bike makers after gravel fades.
Tell you what, I mean, firstly, gravel's not going to fade, right? So less of that, please. But that is cool, isn't it? We're talking a mountain bike from about 1997-ish.
It's something that Si and I recognise very much.
Yes.
Blast from the past.
Gary Fisher Joshua with a unified rear triangle rear suspension.
What were those RockShox forts? They weren't the SIDs, were they? They were, was it Ruby SL?
No, the Ruby is the...
I know, Ruby was before, that was the Ruby, wasn't it?
That is, that's an Indy, mate. RockShox Indy. Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
On a DNA titanium, I think it was.
Oh, nice. But do you know what, right? Let's drag ourselves back from the mists of time. But actually, that makes me happy because that is a bike that's like, that looks like it'd be fun to ride and it's made out of old bits of bike.
That's a definite hack, isn't it?
I applaud hugely. Yeah, that's absolutely wicked. So I hope that's bringing someone great joy, that bicycle.
My first experience of true road riding was on a mountain bike that I had to change the tyres every time, and I had some 26C road tyres that were incredibly difficult to mount onto the rims. Very tight, so I didn't do that very often before I eventually tried to get a road bike.
But it gave you some serious skills there, mate, as a kid, taking tyres on and off. So we can save a hack for that one.
Yep, definitely.
Amazing. Right, next up, we've got this one from Travis. Diaper protection. He said, I was trying to get to my first triathlon in 5 years since having kids. Packing a time trial bike safely into a bike bag for transport, obviously always a challenge. Usually I resort to wrapping components with rags and tape to protect sensitive components or prevent rubbing. In a moment of inspiration, I opted to employ a size 4 diaper for the task and was pleasantly surprised. I mean, it looks quite good there, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, you could probably reuse it as well afterwards, couldn't you?
Yeah, I would suggest that you could add a little bit of water to the diaper and it might have even more protection.
You reckon?
Well, yeah, because they kind of swell up, don't they? And so it would have, obviously take on a bit of extra weight, but would definitely have more padding.
Well, maybe just use a used one that's only been from number one.
Oh, damn.
Anyway, I don't know if I want to go hack for that one. No. Nappy on a bike.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it probably does work. They are quite well padded, aren't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, they can be, particularly size 4. Yeah. Right, no, let's bodge.
Okay, bodge for that one. Bushcat 15, I devised this bar bag support from a small shelf bracket and piece of pipe insulation and attached it to where the head unit bracket normally goes. I've never used a bar bag, but in speaking to Si...
Showing your age there, mate.
Yeah, saddlebags all the way for me. And speaking to Si, he was just telling me that they do need some kind of support. And
well, I mean, they don't need to, but like a big one like that one is going to bounce around a little bit.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that does seem like a good idea.
It does. But he's got a piece of pipe insulation on a very nice-looking bike.
I mean, this... Well, and he's got a giant handlebar bag on a very nice-looking bike. More to the point.
I mean, the good thing about this is that there's no nappy. Inside.
That's true, yeah. No, no, I mean, admittedly, yeah, no nappies were needed, but...
I'm still going to say bodge. I just don't think you should need to add something like this. You just need to get a different type of bag.
I mean, that is a fair point, mate. Yeah, all right. We're going to say good effort, but bodge.
Oh, we've been harsh this week.
Yeah, we are, actually, aren't we? What's that about? Okay, well, lastly, then, we got this one from Barry. Bottles stored upside down with the lids off on the back of the door for my bike storage area... out of sight under the stairs. I like the video. I like this kind of like... Yeah,
we better describe it for podcast listeners.
Oh, yeah, good point. Well, I mean, it's not very dramatic for podcast listeners. It's basically someone...
Steady yourselves.
...opening a door and showing us the back of it, which is covered in water bottle cages into which upside-down water bottles with their lids off.
Yeah.
I'll be told.
To air them.
To air them, yes. I mean, good way of storing them without them getting manky, I guess. But yeah, it's quite an expensive way of storing them, having all those bottle cages stuck to a door.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you can get fairly cheap bottle cages, but still rack up, wouldn't it?
Hey! But I'm... Was that on purpose?
No, but they're not bottle racks, are they? Bottle cages.
Well, right, but it was like a bottle rack. Okay.
Oh. I'll take it.
We said bodge for that one?
Well, yeah. Let's just be negative the whole way through.
Yeah, Barry.
The only hack this week was a really old Gary Fisher mountain bike converted.
With drop handlebars. No, Barry, I think you're onto something there. I think we give you that one.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
A hack, yeah.
All right.
I mean, that...
Well done, Barry.
Yeah, I don't feel the need personally, but, you know,
no.
Who am I to judge?
No, I mean, what I tend to do is just, like, when I'm drying plates, I just put the bottles upside down where I'm drying other stuff.
Yeah.
And they seem to dry out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Right, don't forget you can get involved in this part of the show. Probably easiest if you search for the link that's in the description just down below. But if you want to type the URL in, it's globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader. Duh.
What?
Well, it used to be upload, didn't it?
Oh, I see.
To really emphasise the difference in the old link versus the new link.
Yeah, okay. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you've got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section down below that relates to a photo we will give you in just 1 second after results from last week.
This was the photo from last week. For those of you who can't see it, it was the podium of the Men's Elite Time Trial World Championships, in which Eduardo Affini and Filippo Ganna of Italy are towering over the winner in the middle, Remco Evenepoel in his rainbow jersey. We've actually got a notable mention this week, haven't we?
We do.
There's some cracking entries.
Oh, so good. So runner-up this week. I'm sorry, Doug Newman. It's not the news you wanted, but still, we've got to say this is brilliant. You may have ridden away from us earlier, but we'll be taking your lunch money. And when you see them, like, with their arms draped over his shoulders like that. In fact, it looks like Ganna's about to take his gold medal as well.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Boy, hands off, Ganna.
Crikey.
Yeah, but who's the winner this week, Dan?
The winner is... Not done that for a while.
No, we haven't, yeah.
They're all on the edge of their seats at the moment.
I bet they are, yeah.
Sprez, who said, caption, Remco wins gold despite being head and shoulders below the competition.
Oh, I like
very
that one.
Sprez.
Well done, Sprez. Right, get in touch on Facebook and we will get your Camelback water bottle out to you.
This week's photo comes from the World's
Champion. Oh, I forgot there's some more to come, isn't there?
Yeah, we've not quite finished this segment of the show just yet, so I've been doing it 11 years.
Yeah.
It's this photo of Tadej Pogacar from behind in his solo effort at the World Championships.
I would say a view that everyone got used to at the World Championships, but they didn't, because no one could see that.
No, I mean, Sivakov could for a while. Yeah. Bajoli could for a while. But then it was just TV, camera, motorbikes, wasn't
it? Yes, for 2.5 hours.
All right, we'll get you started. He might have won the world championships, but Pogacar is still not big-headed. for those of you listening, you can't see his head at all. He looks very aero from
he
behind.
He does look aero.
But does it doesn't from the side?
I know, you said this earlier, and it's like, I was thinking, oh, it's weird, isn't it? He doesn't look aero at all.
No.
And then, yeah, you look at that and you're like, oh my words, he is really aero.
The other caption I had was, shoulders, knees and toes.
Not as good, mate.
Okay, all right.
But, you know, still.
Maybe cut that out of the edit. Arsac edits Arvid, please. Get involved in the comments below. We'll pick a winner next week. We will shortly let you know what's coming up on GCN this week. But first up, we picked out a few of our favourite comments from the last week's worth of videos. We'll start, as ever, from underneath last week's GCN show, where Wotex Pat... I read that out wrong.
Wotex Pat? Maybe?
Oh, maybe, yes. Wrote, RE the graph, where I said I fell down in terms of my skills using Excel spreadsheets.
Well, you did, mate, yeah.
You should have used a Y2 and scaled those little bars on that. A couple of people gave me some hints and pointers from that point of view, so I'll know for next time I'm trying to prove that Vanderpool can't win something.
There you go. Well, yeah. Pretty good now at that, aren't you? Luke Sanders, you may remember him from hack/bodge when he suggested raiding the cupboard under the kitchen sink for something to clean your bike with, said the Dettol worked a treat. Actually, lads, I can confirm the bike is still sparkly clean and in one piece. I now haven't got anything to clean the bathroom with, though. Might try some muck off on the Kazi.
The Kazi.
Yeah.
Not like that. Word.
Old
describe
school,
a toilet for a long time.
Old school English slang, that's for the loo.
The improbable Iron Man said I had a spare fiver that I was going to drop as a super thanks on this video. However, after watching the show, I've just put it on Pogacar to win the world. Thanks for the tip, Dan. Well, by my reckoning, that means, I mean, it was low odds.
I was going to say, probably, but you probably won, what, £5 and five?
Well, no, he would have got his fiver back, stake. Plus about another £3, I think. So
oh, really?
Now got £8 to donate to us as a super thanks.
Thank you very much, Improbable Iron Man.
In all seriousness, though, we were bowled over by the number of super thanks that we received.
Yeah.
We gave a quick mention of it last week on the show because for the first time, we've got that icon that you'll find just beneath this video.
We say find. It is quite well hidden.
Reasonably well hidden, yeah, but there is the option to give us a super thanks. Obviously, you don't have to, but if you really appreciate what we do, it is very much appreciated. And so for everyone that did give us a super thanks underneath last week's show, genuinely, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe the number that were rolling through.
Yeah, amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, yeah, thank you, everyone, for that. Underneath nine things that I wish I'd known about Zwift, Grizzrock...
Oh, this is great.
Check out this little hack that we didn't know about. I created a one-minute free ride workout hack, which I use to access worlds that aren't currently active. After the workout has ended, you can freely ride the route. Good for ticking off new routes and boosting your XP. Not very good for the community aspects that I talked about quite a lot in the video. I feel like you might be on your own in those worlds. But no, there you go. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I could have done with that, actually.
Wonder if Zwift know about that.
Yeah, good point.
Grizzrock might not be able to do it once they've made a patch. Bless
Excuse
you.
Me. Sorry.
We'll keep that in.
Yeah, thanks. Well, it's the Gravel World Champs coming out this weekend.
Oh, no.
So I'm blaming you. Can I come down with a cold?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Underneath, I finally took creatine and the results shocked me by Connor, of course. Pastor Mystic wrote, Connor certainly could have used some of that water retention during Unbound.
Oh, my God, yeah. That's so funny.
A big brown pool, but as a type 2 diabetic, it has been transformational in reinstating my muscles to insulin.
Oh,
resensitizing my muscles to insulin and pulling fuel out of the blood into cells. A game changer if you're a diabetic athlete.
Wow, I did not know that.
No.
No.
Huge numbers of benefits to creatine.
Well,
and apparently, the old wives' tale, if you want to call it that, that creatine led to your hair falling out is not true.
Oh, is that right?
Well, I'm hoping it's not, because I do take creatine.
I was going to say, yeah, of all the, like, I think we said there were, like, no side effects to creatine that have been proven.
No.
Is that right?
No, I think any that there were in studies have since been disproven.
Yeah. Interesting, though. Buster Woolfock said, try some EPO for the next video. We did discuss briefly, didn't we, whether or not that was possible. And then we thought there are some very many ethical issues with trying a banned blood booster for a video, not least the fact that it's really bad for your personal health.
Mm.
So we probably won't be doing that.
No,
anytime soon.
Might be Beta Adeline instead or something along those lines.
Not even Hank. But as in, you know, but I don't think we'd let him do that.
No, I don't think so either.
He'd pretty much do anything except take EPO.
How much slower is a gravel bike? Finn Bops wrote, last Sportivo I did, I finished with a guy who was riding a gravel bike with thicker tyres than my 32s. The guy was an absolute machine and it was a blast. It doesn't matter what you're riding as long as you're having fun.
That is absolutely true. I completely agree with you, Finn Bops. But equally, you might be having more fun if you're on a different bike. So, you know, kind of, it does matter for some people. Secret Gwiwa. Most people I know don't spec their gravel bikes as gravel bikes. They use the tyre clearance to fit mudguards and wide road tyres. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that is a really good use of a gravel bike, isn't it? It's like a, well, yeah, just like a really robust road bike. Very good indeed, yeah.
110 Mark B, still proudly rocking my 2017 Orbea Terra that I won after Sai's unboxing video that year. Well, that's great to hear,
it's
isn't it?
It's so cool, isn't it? Yeah, I loved that when I stumbled across that in the comments. So, so yeah, there you go. Thanks so much for letting us know, Mark B. That's brilliant.
Right, coming up on the channel this week then, on Friday, the aforementioned 10 years of Zwift video. I'll be taking a deep dive into what training used to look like indoors.
Yeah.
Spoiler indeed. Alert, it was quite boring. And then how Zwift have changed the game.
Yeah. Who is it you've been speaking to for that? It's Matt Heyman.
I hope to speak to him the day the show comes out.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Eric Min, the founder. The founder of Zwift.
Whoa, cool.
Kristen Kulczynski.
She's like, she's one of those kind of people that has come to cycling through Zwift, hasn't she?
I mean, she had ridden a bike as a child, but not that much. And then suddenly found Zwift during lockdown, found she was really good at it, and has now started winning races out on the open road because of the talent she found through riding indoors, which is fantastic.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
And Kate Verano, who has been... she was behind the sort of Tour de France Famavic Zwift. That race might not have got off the ground were it not for Zwift's cash injection and sponsorship of the race as headline sponsor. So, yeah.
Yeah.
A few cool stories there.
Proper cool. Right, okay. Well... Note in your diary, so that one, that's on Friday. On Saturday, so last week, Ollie tackled something that was slightly mind-blowing, wasn't it?
You're not going to believe this ride when you see it.
No, I don't think you will. So we will save the details, but just to let you know that put some time aside on Saturday for a truly epic, epic ride.
I also feel like we should say that we're now, what, 4 or 5 days after that ride? He is alive and well. So if you watch that video Saturday, don't worry, he's still with us and he looks okay, doesn't he? I mean, he's still recovering, but he's okay.
I mean, the fact that he's just had to buy like a wrist splint and he's shuffling around the office even slower than normal. Anyway, yeah, no, that was a big one. And then on Sunday, a year ago, I don't know, we did a video about whether road tyres could be too wide, basically. Do wide road tyres slow you down? The results of that were pretty surprising in that, no, they didn't seem to, not even up to 35. So we're going to do it for gravel tyres instead. So are wider gravel tyres slower on gravel roads? So 40, 45 and 50 mil gravel tyres. Mm-hmm. So yeah, make sure you check that one out.
Right.
Fascinating, actually.
That's the end of this week's GCN show. So thank you, as ever, for watching. Thanks for all your comments and shares as well, by the way. We try and get through as many of the comments as possible. But as mentioned last week, if you can share any of the videos that you like that we do with other people that you think might also like them, it goes a long way to really helping this channel survive. So thank you very much.
Indeed, it does. Yeah. All right. Thanks for watching. We'll see you guys next week.